Welcome to the DrDavidMarlin.com Stable Science Podcast. I'm Dr. David Marlin, and along with a great team of experts, I'm helping horse owners and riders achieve optimal performance for their much-loved horses. In these podcasts, we will discuss science-led research, technology, information, and advice to help you care for your horses so they may live healthier, happier, and longer lives. To support the podcast and all our research and science for horses, go to our website, www.drdavidmarlin.com. And to learn more about what we do and the hot topics under discussion, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello and welcome to this podcast for the Dr. David Marlin members. My name is Dr. Gillian Tabor. I'm a chartered physiotherapist and I specialise in the treatment and the rehabilitation of horses. In this podcast, I want to cover the topic of building muscle in horses, but from a different aspect. If you look on the website, you'll find posts by David about muscle building. So, basically, healthy muscle builds in the presence of a decent source of protein. So you have to have the building blocks for developing muscle. But also you need to stimulate the muscle development. And that is done through actually putting a bit of pressure through the muscles. So actually working them to the point that they are in what we called overload. So you need to actually challenge the system to adapt. And that's something that some people don't do. They sort of stay at a low level of work and therefore the body does not respond because it doesn't think that it needs to gain more muscle. What we need to do through any training program is progressively increase that amount of load that we put through the system. So if you think of a human example, if I could do 10 squats if I then do 11, I am tired. I've reached that point that I've overloaded the muscle. But if, you know, later on doing my training pattern, I can do 20 squats or 30 squats without getting tired, I'm not challenging my body. So what I'd need to do is I'd need to increase load. So what I could do is I could hold some weight so that, you know, if I had either a rucksack or I had barbells, dumbbells, something like that, and then I got to the point that actually with that added weight, I could only do 8 squats, then I know that I am overloading my body. I could start off with a load of 5 kilograms, and then when that was easy, I would then add, you know, some more and do 10 kilos. So you can see that with humans, it's quite easy to consider that aspect of progressive overload to stimulate the adaptation and then the building of muscle bulk. In horses, it's slightly more challenging to do because it's not as straightforward as isolating a single muscle and working it and adding load to it. So we have to be a little bit constructive with our exercise programs. Now, We know that if you increase speed, you increase the number of muscle fibers that are required to contract. So that's going to increase load. We also know if you do things like going up hills, you're going to have to work the muscles harder. You change the surface, you put a heavier rider on, wear more tack, you go for longer durations. So there's a few factors and variables that we can manipulate to increase the load progressively. So if we're feeding an adequate amount of protein, the right amount of protein, and we are progressively overloading the muscular system, then we should see that the muscles build and therefore the muscle bulk increases. Conversely, if we reduce the amount of exercise, so we put a horse on box rest, or that nutritional intake isn't as good, then we might see that the muscles reduce in size. And this is very, very common if a horse has had an injury and then we are actually mobilizing it. And the same, you know, we've seen in research with people, we put them on bed rest or we put their arm in a cast and we see that the muscles waste away. So there's a clear link between the amount of activity that we do and the muscle size. What complicates this is that in some horses, they just won't build muscle. The client is feeding them correctly. They have had nutritional advice and they think that they're doing the right amount of exercise. They're increasing the activity. And there are areas of the body where the horse is not developing muscle. Now, quite commonly, people are looking to build the top line of the horse. And when we mean top line, we are talking about the apaxial muscles, so the muscles that sit above the spine. So we want that nice sort of arched neck shape. We want muscle in the saddle area that allows us to be able to sit a saddle on comfortably, not too much of a sharp profile. You know, when you've sort of got a horse that doesn't have muscle there, it almost looks like they've got a shark fin where their withers are. And then you can see the shelf of the ribs and you can see that either side of the spine, it's quite concave. In a horse that doesn't have top line in the lumbar region, you can see the tips of those spinous processes and they look like they are convex. So they curve upwards, which can be sort of an area of concern. And then in the area before the hunter's bump, the tuberous sacrale of the pelvis, you end up with a dip in that area. And then the hindquarter muscles just drop away. So we're looking to build those muscles and develop the top line in the horse. So why might it not develop? Well, you can imagine that if a horse is not using those muscles, then they won't actually build. And this could be the case if the horse is working in a poor posture, if they are in an inverted position, or in some horses we see that they overuse their forehand, they pull themselves along and they don't generate enough force from their hindquarters. And you see that the muscles around the front of the chest are really big, well-developed, the muscles on the base of the neck, so the brachiocephalic, sternocephalic, are again bulging, and then we don't get development of the muscles at the top line. So how the horse works is one key area as to why they don't develop top line. But the purpose of this podcast is to talk about another area called arthrogenic muscle inhibition, AMI. And what that means in layman's terms is that there is a reason from the joints that the muscles are switched off and not working. When we have joint injury, what happens is we get a change in the neurological input from that region. So that is called afferent activity. And we have seen it in people that you get an increase in the afferent activity if you have a problem with the knee, and that actually switches off the quadriceps. Now, switches off, not 100%, because obviously they do work. But if we're looking to recruit them to switch them on to develop muscle, we need as many of those muscle fibers to work as possible. But if you have swelling in your knee for whatever reason, you know, maybe you've damaged the ligaments within it, or maybe there is some osteoarthritis that is creating some inflammation in the joint, we then actually get this loop through the nervous system that then inhibits some of those muscle fibers. That then causes the muscle to be weak because it can't perform to a good enough level. And that then creates a repetitive cycle of not using it. Therefore, it becomes more weaker and therefore you get atrophy. So you get wasting away of the muscle fibers that are there. That then predisposes to more injury of the joint because the joint is not supported so much. So you can see that we're in this cycle.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The arthrogenic muscle inhibition, so this sensory input, comes from receptors around the area that has been damaged, so mechanoreceptors and from proprioceptors, as well as from the free nerve endings. So the sensory fibers from these enter the dorsal horn of the spinal cord and they connect with the interneurons that are in there within the matter of the spinal cord. Normally, these interneurons actually control either the amount of signal going through the motor nerves in excitation, or they inhibit it. So these interneurons switch on or switch off the output from the spinal cord. So you can get what we call pre- and post-synaptic inhibition. So in presynaptic inhibition, we get a decrease in the neurotransmitter that is released from the presynaptic terminal. And in postsynaptic inhibition, you get the release of the inhibitory neurotransmitter. And you might have heard of the neurotransmitter called GABA, G-A-B-A. That's quite talked about quite a lot in human studies. But GABA binds to the sites in those in the postsynaptic membranes. And normally it should open the ion channels, which depolarize it, and we end up with the reduced ability to generate an action potential down that motor nerve. So therefore you get a change in that arc of the neurology from the sensory system out through the motor nerves. That means that you get less motor fibers firing, so motor neuron pool recruitment, which then leads to less force being able to be generated by the muscle, and that then leads to atrophy. In humans, this is quite easy to measure because you can measure the voluntary force that's being produced either before or after injury, or you can compare, say, your left quads with your right quads. And we can also do it with some complex measuring devices that actually measure sort of signals, the EMG and also the Hofmann reflexes, so you can stimulate and measure the effect. But we struggle to do that in horses, unfortunately. So it's a little bit subjective as to where we think we've got muscle weakness because of disuse atrophy, where it's not being used, or because we've got this AMI. One of the obvious signs of AMI is in a horse that has got the pathology kissing spines, and you see real wastage of the apaxial muscles, so the longissimus dorsi and the thoracic trapezius, the iliocostalis and spinalis muscles that sit in that saddle region. And you get the horse, as I was describing earlier, with this sort of shark fin, a real sharp profile to their thoracic spine, concavity in the muscles either side side of the spine, and this sort of shelf-like appearance where you can see the top of the ribs as they come in and then run horizontally into the thoracic vertebrae. And you're also going to get pain through those muscles as well, because if you've got weak muscles, they're going to have to work extra hard, which means that they in themselves might be painful as a result. We also see it in horses that have sacroiliac pathology or issues in that lumbar sacral region, and that's been documented in the literature. You see either asymmetry through the muscle, or you certainly see atrophy or wastage of the muscle in the hindquarters. So the pain itself is what is triggering this arthrogenic muscle inhibition. So without managing the pain, you're not going to be able to change anything to do with that muscle bulk. We know in human studies that you get inhibition of the multifidus muscle in patients that have chronic low back pain, and it is quite marked in the levels and the regions that you have that low back pain. And what we know, because in humans we've got some studies that use functional MRI scans, and they show that you get reorganization of the muscle representation in the motor cortex in those people that have recurrent low back pain. And we actually consider that this is going to be very likely to happen in horses as well. So you actually have to manage the pain, you have to actually take away the region for this the reason for this muscle inhibition before we can start actually changing the activation of the muscles in that area, because otherwise we're just going to get this cycle which actually prohibits voluntary muscle contraction, especially of the multifidus. So in humans we've shown that if you treat the back pain, say with facet joint injections or spinal surgery, and then rehab the people, you get restoration of the normal brain anatomy and function. So if we take this to our horse, if we've had the pain treated either conservatively or surgically, then if we can rehab the horse, then hopefully we're going to restore the normal neurological function, which is then going to try and restore normal muscle function in that region as well. So basically, it's something that we need to consider, as well as the protein and the exercise level. Have we got inhibition of the muscles because we have got pain? So if you are doing everything you can and you are still not getting muscle development, I think we do need to consider whether there is inhibition due to pain, either that you can easily measure or some subclinical pain. I've got some clients that have had horses that have been diagnosed with lumbar facet disease, and when we have had that treated, then all of a sudden we get a change in the muscle development. I've had clients that have had what they would say, you know, normal thoroughbreds that they can't put weight on, and then they have treatment for kissing spines, and then you have a horse that literally sort of blossoms in front of you within the few months following surgery. So not wishing to sound too negative or to scare you, but if you, as I said, if you've got problems with muscle development, I think you need to look a little bit more than into the nutrition of the horse or into the workload that you're doing, especially if you are doing everything that you possibly can and you're not getting any change in the muscle. So start to consider whether you've got any arthrogenic muscle inhibition. So if you have any questions or you want to discuss this further, then please do, either in the Facebook group or via the email to the Dr. David Marlin team, and I'll be happy to talk about it more. But thank you for listening, and I look forward to speaking to you in my next podcast for the Dr. David Marlin members.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast and the Stable Science series. If you want to learn more about this topic and our work, head over to the drdavidmarlin.com website. Our website and community of members discuss a wide breadth of topics, and the website houses thousands of articles, webinars, videos, and research, all designed to help horse owners, riders, trainers, and breeders achieve optimal performance for their much-loved horses. The drdavidmarlin.com site is an independent information resource for all equestrians, a source of unbiased, science-based research. To learn more about what we do and the hot topics under discussion, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.